Minehead Baptist Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, the 14th of September 2008. Hello and welcome. Thank you once again for joining me. My name's James and I'm the web guy here at NBC. This week, Andy's continuing from last week and he's going to look at consecration and how we can consecrate ourselves for God. The reading is Joshua 24 verses 11 to 14 and Joshua 3 verse 5, and that will be read by Jenny. So let's go over to Andy as he's going to start the sermon and we'll hear the reading.
We're going to come around God's word. Jenny's going to come and bring God's word to us from Joshua chapter 24. Thank you, Jenny.
It's on page 240 in the Church Bible. And God is speaking to his people through Joshua. Then you crossed the Jordan and came to Jericho. The citizens of Jericho fought against you, as did also the Amorites, Perizzites, Canaanites, Hittites, Girgashites, Hivites, and Jebusites. But I gave them into your hands. I sent the hornet ahead of you, which drove them out before you. Also the two Amorite kings. You did not do it with your own sword and bow. So I gave you a land on which you did not toil, and cities you did not build, and you live in them, and eat from the vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods of that your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Then the people answered, "Far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God himself who brought us and our fathers up out of Egypt from that land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God." Joshua said to the people, "You are not able to serve the Lord. He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, he will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you after he has been good to you." But the people said to Joshua, "No, we will serve the Lord." Then Joshua said, "You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen to serve the Lord." "Yes, we are witnesses," they replied. "Now then," said Joshua, "throw away the foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel." And the people said to Joshua, "We will serve the Lord our God and obey him." Joshua told the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you." Thanks be to God.
Lord, would you speak to us by your word? Speak to us such that we may know that you are amongst us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Last week, we started, as it were, a new year, real sense of new year, a new beginning. And perhaps, yes, thank you, James. I left you at the end of last Sunday morning, I left you with that question, which I think is a question that the book of Joshua poses to us as a people and poses to us as individuals. before we take possession of anything, we're talking about the people of Israel standing on the verge of the Jordan, about to enter the promised land. Before we take possession of anything, and we can speak corporately and individually, the question is, how much of us belongs to God? How much of you, how much of me does God have possession of? Just a quick recap on last week. As I said, the people of Israel were standing on the verge of Jordan. Moses had brought them out of Egypt 40 years before, and he'd led them through the desert for 40 years, had provided for them. God had provided for them. They'd had their ups, they'd had their downs, but God had led them. God had been faithful to them. God had been faithful to his promise and had brought them to the verge of the Jordan, ready for them to cross over and take possession of the land promised to them. And in Joshua chapter 1, the book opens with these words, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Get ready. Get ready." And there was that sense, as I mentioned last week, that the old for these people, the old has gone, but the new was coming. At that point, as they're standing on the verge of Jordan, what is it that Commander Joshua, Moses' assistant, the man who God has chosen to take the people across the Jordan into the land, he says to them, "Consecrate yourselves." Chapter 3, verse 5. "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you." And that's my subject for this morning, consecration. What does it mean to consecrate yourselves? I want to jump ahead some 30 to 40 years from that moment, to the reading that we had in Joshua chapter 24. Joshua has brought the people of Israel into the promised land. He's led them to conquer and possess most of the land, and he's brought them to a time of peace. But Joshua is about to die. And so he calls all of Israel, we're told, he calls all of Israel, the elders, the people, the leaders, to a place called Shechem. And he reminds them, he takes a long time to remind the people of all that God has done for them. Beginning with Abraham, when God brought Abraham out of Ur, to this moment when they're standing on the verge of Jordan. And as they're standing there and as he's reminded them, he offers them this challenge from Joshua chapter 4, 24, verse 15. He says, "Now fear Yahweh and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped and serve Yahweh. But if serving Yahweh seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve." And then as we read in Joshua 24, the people have this discussion and they say very piously, "Far be it from us to forsake the Lord." As if they were saying, "We wouldn't do anything like that. We wouldn't forsake the Lord. Far be it from us. We will serve the Lord," they said. And that came across beautifully as Jenny read it. And so after they had said, "We will serve the Lord," Joshua then gave them this challenge. "Throw away the foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to Yahweh, the God of Israel." Oh, what wonderful words. I'd like us certainly I would like to underline those and highlight those in my Bible as a word for us today. Throw away the foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to Yahweh, the God of Israel. In effect, what Joshua is saying here is the same as what he was saying in Joshua chapter 3, verse 5, "Consecrate yourselves." What he is saying is this: give yourselves wholeheartedly to Yahweh, the God of Israel. Yahweh, the holy God, the almighty God, as we've sung and as we've heard, the King of creation, Yahweh, wants people to choose to follow him and serve him. He wants you and me to choose to follow him and serve him. Although he could, he doesn't force anybody. He doesn't coerce anybody. He doesn't manipulate. He simply offers himself to us and lets us choose. But if we choose him, then he requires faithfulness from us. If we choose to follow him, he requires faithfulness from us. Verse 19 in Joshua 24 says, Joshua said to the people, "You're not able to serve the Lord. He is a holy God, and he is a jealous God." Our God is holy and jealous, and if we choose to follow him, he will not share himself with anyone or anything else. He is a holy and a jealous God. Choosing to serve Yahweh is a matter of the will. Our verse says, throw away the foreign gods that are among you. It's a matter of the will to choose to follow the Lord. If they were going to follow the Lord, they would throw the foreign gods away. It was a matter of the will. But also choosing to serve and follow Yahweh is a matter of the heart. Yield your hearts.
Hello?
Yield your hearts to Yahweh, the God of Israel. Choosing to follow Yahweh is a matter of the will and the heart. Do you remember Jesus said something similar, didn't he, when he addressed the people on the mountainside? He said this: where your treasure is, there also will be your heart. No one can serve two masters. Either he will love one and hate another, or he will despise one or be devoted to the other. We cannot serve two gods. We cannot serve two masters. We can only choose. And if we choose to follow Yahweh and serve him, he is a jealous God, and he will not share himself with anyone else. Just coming back to Israel standing on the verge of Jordan in Joshua chapter 3. As the people are preparing to enter the promised land, Joshua commands the people, here it is again, consecrate yourselves. This was his last command before the people crossed the Jordan into the promised land. To consecrate literally means to make sacred, to set apart to God for his exclusive use. I went to my Hebrew scholars and I said, what is the Hebrew word for consecrate, for holy? And it's this word, say kadosh. Isn't that beautiful? Hebrew, kadosh. And it means holy. And the word consecrate comes from that Hebrew word, kadosh. That word translated in the Old and New Testament, when it's talking about us, has got three elements to it. And we'll come back to these at a later date. But holiness means, number one, consecration. Being set apart. Secondly, it means sanctification. It's descriptive of a process of transformation where we are being made holy. In consecration, we are declared holy because we are set apart for God. In sanctification, we are being made holy. It's a process of transformation. Literally, it means, and this is beautiful, literally it means to make shine more brightly. The more holy we become, the more brightly we shine. That's what it means. But the third part of this word, third part of the meaning, I'm having problems with this, James. Go on. There he is holiness. And this holiness is an activity. It is the outliving of the new nature. Consecration, we are called holy by virtue of being set apart. Sanctification, we are being made holy as part of a process of transformation. Holiness, then, is that point when we do holiness. When we live the new nature. And we'll come back to holiness at some point in the next few weeks. But I want to particularly look at that first part today, consecration. And brothers and sisters, this is the three more points. I don't know how many points I've got for you this morning. I should have counted. But this is three more points. These are aspects of consecration. What does consecration mean? First of all, it means separation. Secondly, it means purification. Thirdly, it means devotion. Forget the holiness bit at the moment. Well, don't forget it. But this is what I just want to look at this morning. These three things. Firstly, consecration. When Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourselves, what was he meaning? First of all, it's about separation. Something or someone is set apart. Or we set ourselves apart for God's exclusive use. We belong to God. In Exodus chapter 13, verse 2, we read about how every firstborn male is to be set apart. The Lord said to Moses, consecrate to me every firstborn male. The first offspring of every womb among the Israelites belongs to me, whether man or animal. So consecration is about separation to God. It is about belonging to God. The first male of every womb, of every offspring, was belonged to God, was consecrated. And belong to God. We read about Jesus and how he was consecrated in Luke chapter 2, verse 22 and 24. Jesus, Mary's firstborn, was consecrated to the Lord. He was set apart for God's exclusive use. Jesus said, didn't he, I can only do what I see my Father doing. Because he had consecrated himself and had been consecrated to God's exclusive use. But Joshua says to you and me, to the people, consecrate yourselves. Be set apart. Choose this day, Joshua says in chapter 24. Choose this day whom you will serve. You can't serve both Yahweh and foreign gods. You have to choose. And you know, we cannot get away from the fundamental principle that following God, becoming a Christian, is a choice that we all make. It's not whether church is attractive. It's not whether church meets my needs. It's not this or that. Following Jesus is a choice that you and I are asked to make. No more, no less. It is a decision. It's not an emotional response, though a response to God is never void of emotion, or it's very sad if it is. It is a decision based on a conviction. I believe this is true, therefore I choose to follow Jesus. We sing, don't we? I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. And Jesus, God, never forces someone to make that choice. We know very well the story of the rich young man who came to Jesus and actually went away empty because he could not make that choice. He could not make that decision. And as I thought about this, I thought of my own first decision. You know, I've been a Christian for 25 years from the August bank holiday weekend a few weeks ago. And what a significant moment that was. And for you, that first time when you heard the voice of God calling you, the voice of Jesus, follow me, and you responded, I believe. And yet equally, we are to respond every day. This day, choose whom you will serve. Every day, the new is a new beginning. Every day, we need to choose to consecrate ourselves to the Lord. This day, I will serve the Lord. And it's a daily choice, isn't it? Isn't it? Do you have to make that choice daily? I do. Yes, I have made that choice to follow Jesus in my life. But daily, I have to set myself apart. Daily, I have to consecrate myself. Daily, I say, Lord, I'm here for you. Every day. Consecration is about separation from something to God. Consecration, secondly, is about purification. Joshua commanded the people, throw away your foreign gods. It's interesting, and there's undoubtedly a link, that when the people left Egypt, they crossed the Red Sea. When the people were entering the Promised Land, they crossed the Jordan. And in Scripture, when people come to faith, they're commanded to be baptized. The waters are a picture of cleansing, of washing, of purification. We're going to celebrate together in a couple of weeks' time as Lynn is baptized here. When the people in Exodus chapter 19, verse 14, when the people were consecrated, they washed their clothes as an outward sign that they had been cleansed inwardly. Purification is an essential part of consecration, of consecrating yourselves. Throw away your foreign gods. Joshua was saying, purify your house, purify your lives, purify the nation, get rid of the filth that is in your homes. Purification is about cleansing. The Bible talks about the forgiveness of sins. In the Old Testament, we're cleansed. We're forgiven by sacrifice. And in the New Testament, we are cleansed, forgiven, because of the once and for all perfect sacrifice of the Lord Jesus, who laid down his life and who shed his blood that we might be cleansed. Paul says, by his blood we are cleansed. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, Paul writes, after he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. And in 1 John 1, verse 9, very well known, you won't need me to say it, but for those of you that don't, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. That is how we have been made pure, only through the shed blood of Jesus on the cross. Purification is about cleansing, but here's a word. Purification is also about ridding ourselves of those things that cause us to sin. It's not just about being made clean. It is about ridding ourselves, ridding our lives, ridding this town, ridding this nation of the things that cause us to sin. What does Jesus say? If your right eye, now please don't go home and do this. I feel like one of those, you know. But understand what it says. If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. For it is better for you to lose a part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. Whoa! Did the loving, kind Jesus say that? Yes, he did. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, since we have these promises, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. You see, purification is about cleansing. But it is also about ridding ourselves, ridding our lives of those wretched things in our lives that keep causing us to stumble, that keep causing us to fall. Joshua 7, verse 13. Here's an amazing, here is a word of the Lord. Joshua 7, verse 13. A word for me. This is a word for me. And if it's for you, that's great. Joshua 7, verse 13. Go consecrate the people. Tell them, consecrate yourselves in preparation for tomorrow. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. That which is devoted is among you. That is badly devoted. Foreign gods, it is among you. O Israel, you cannot stand against your enemies until you remove it. There is the word of the Lord. You cannot stand against your enemies until you remove it from your life, from your lives. This is a hard word. This is a challenging word. I remember Adrian Plass telling the story of a woman who used to get the train every day from her home up to London. And things were not going well with her husband. And she sat on this train, and every morning she discovered that she was sitting opposite this man. And she began to talk to him. And they began to share deeper things in their lives. And after a while, she realized that she had fallen in love with him. And times came when she began to look forward to getting on the train, because she was going to sit opposite him and talk with him. And she went home very bravely and told her husband what had been going on. And her husband simply looked at her and said, for goodness sake, change trains. Get off. Walk away. Many times the Bible warns us, flee from sin. Flee from sexual immorality. Flee from idolatry. Flee from the evil desires of your youth. This word speaks to me. This word speaks to me. Unless we get rid of them, we cannot stand against our enemies. Unless we get rid of these things, we will never have the victory in our personal and our spiritual lives. Brothers and sisters, in humility, hear the word of the Lord. I know it's true for me. If it's not for you, pray for me. Consecration is about separateness. It is about purification. And purification is about cleansing from sin, but ridding our lives of those things that cause us to sin. And I'm nearly finished. Number three, consecration is about devotion. The second thing, or the third thing, that Joshua says in Joshua 24, yield your hearts to Yahweh. Literally, surrender your life in its totality to the Lord and serve him. You see, having made the choice to separate ourselves to God, having been cleansed, and when dealing with the causes of sin, God calls us to be single-minded and heart-devoted to him and him alone. As I've read Joshua, it's come back to me again, one of the objections in Joshua is all the destruction, all the killing, all the blood. And you think, what's it about? Is this all really necessary? And it makes the book quite difficult. But look at these, brothers and sisters. Deuteronomy 20, this is the command of the Lord to the people. However, do not leave, and he's talking to the people as they enter the land, don't leave anything that breathes. Don't leave it alive. Otherwise, they will teach you to follow all the detestable things they do in worshipping their gods, and you will sin against the Lord your God. Read this, Deuteronomy 13, verse 5. You must purge evil from among you. Brothers and sisters, God knew how fragile his people were, and he knows how fragile you and I are, and how easily we fall into temptation. Yahweh is a jealous God. He will not share himself with anyone or anything. Devote yourselves to the Lord. That's why all this blood and destruction and awfulness of Joshua is so necessary. Do you know? I know. I may be cleansed from my sin. But unless that root is pulled out and thrown away, how easily I fall back. We must purge evil from our lives. Brothers and sisters. We must purge evil from this town. We must purge evil from this nation. But it begins with you, and it begins with me, that I must purge evil from my life. Thank God he cleanses us. Thank God he forgives us. But that's not enough. We must purge our lives of evil, however big or small it may be. We will never win the victory over those things that taunt us and tempt us and cause us to fall until we drive them out. Jesus purifies us from our sin. He calls us to purge from our lives the root of sin, the cause of sin, so that we may be devoted to him. I leave that question again before us. Before we take possession of anything, how much of you and I belongs to God? Joshua says, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things. Do we want to see the Lord do amazing things? You don't have to answer yes, but if you do, do you want to see the Lord do amazing things in your life? Are there things that you've been dragging along year on year on year and they hold you back, they drag you down, they prevent you from moving forward? The word of the Lord to me, consecrate yourselves. Set yourself apart for God and for him alone. Purify yourselves through the blood of the Lamb shed for us and by the rooting out of all those things that cause us to sin, and devote yourself to God wholeheartedly, because he loves you and he wants to do amazing things in your life and in my life. Let's pray. In fact, as we're quiet, look, I've really spoken for too long. Well, whether it's too long or not, it's up to you. But it's 2:15, and some of you will be anxious about the time. In that anxiety, can we be gracious to one another? Be gracious to me. And if you really are anxious about it, or you just need to get off, then take these moments. We're going to watch a video. I don't want to skip this. It would be easy for me because of time to say, oh, well, we're going to skip this. But I don't want to, because I think it's powerful. But let's be gracious with one another. Be gracious with me. If you're anxious about time or you need to go, then may God bless you as you respond to his word this morning. But we're going to watch a film. And then Roy is going to lead us in a time of worship, as we come to the Lord and respond to him ourselves. You've seen and heard a bit of this before, but it's that song, Be My Everything. Lord, be my everything. Let's respond to the Lord.
Resting there in my working, God in my thing. God, am I speaking? Be my everything. Be my everything. Be my everything. Be my everything. God, am I hoping? There in my dream.
You can leave a comment about today's sermon over at minehead-baptist.com/sermons. And of course, you can always email me on podcast@minehead-baptist.com. So thank you once again for listening. Please stay subscribed and I'll speak to you soon.